Attempt blocked by McNabb. To the right circle, a try. Kick, save Hill. Rebound, another try, save Hill. A third try, save. And the rebound to the right corner.
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Bois boots it ahead, sticks it left. Barbashev in. Back to the right, a shot. Score! Marchessault, 19 seconds in.
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Friday. Trade deadline has come and gone. The VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where you get your first loan on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. It has been a busy week, a hectic week for the Vegas Golden Knights. Three trades in total for Vegas. Noah Hanifin is a Vegas Golden Knight. Anthony Manta is a Vegas Golden Knight. And somehow, someway, Tomas Hertl is a Vegas Golden Knight. To help us kind of dig into this a little bit deeper and break it all down, we bring in Danny Webster. Danny, at what moment did it sink in for you that Noah Hanifin wasn't the biggest splash, that Anthony Manta wasn't the biggest splash, that Tomas Hertl at the very last minute was the biggest splash from Kelly McCrimmon this trade deadline season?
I don't think it set in until that graphic that showed up on the Golden Knights Twitter account that they've been launching the last few days, where it's just the strip skyline in the background, and it's like the player's name, and it's all fancy and whatnot. I don't think it set in until that very moment, because I can tell you this with 150% certainty: I did not have Tomas Hertl on my bingo card as a potential option. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is definitely in a week where the Golden Knights have made a big splash with Noah Hanifin. They get a guy they want in Anthony Manta. The one guy that I don't think anybody would have expected at this point is one of the best players on the team that has been the Golden Knights' biggest rival for years now. And he is now a Golden Knight for now the foreseeable 6 years. So until I think I see him on the ice, maybe that's when it'll actually set in.
So when you think of Tomas Hertl, when you think of what he can bring to the table, obviously he's not going to be in the lineup for a little while. Kelly McCrimmon did speak earlier today. We played that on the show. He expects Hertl to play in the regular season. But what does Hertl bring to this hockey club?
A big body, a very physical presence, very smart in the net front, very good, unique option on the power play, can play behind the net, can play on the bumper, can play on the dots if you need him to. Good face-off centerman. I think a lot of people forget that Tomas Hertl is a natural center. I forgot that there were times where he would play wing, and he's a natural-born center, and he's shown on those Sharks teams that were in contention a few years ago, he's a very valuable piece in terms of the face-off areas. And when he's engaged and playing on a competitor, he's a very good two-way centerman. So the Golden Knights check off a lot of boxes here getting him. And when he's healthy, I think he's going to be very motivated to get back to the playoffs. And it's going to be a completely different scenario than when he was playing in San Jose and being on a team where he's putting up 35, 36 points, but the team is nowhere near contention. Now in Vegas and still locked up for long term, he's going to get a chance to play some inspired hockey here.
Where do you see him lining up? Because center depth is certainly something that the Golden Knights have a plethora of
right now. Yes, yeah. A ton of.
So what do you see, or where do you see him playing, and with who?
Embarrassment of riches is probably the best way that I would describe that. I think if we're going under the assumption that Stevenson stays at left wing, mm-hmm. right, I think at the moment either 2C or 3C sounds pretty good. And I guess we're playing devil's advocate of everybody's healthy come game one of the playoffs and all options are on the table. I think right now when Tomas Hurdle gets back immediately, when he gets into the lineup, given who will be available and who won't be, I look at it as maybe 2C or 3C and kind of interchange him and Carlson in the lineup, depending on whether you need Carlson more on the scoring line or on the more shutdown checking line. And I think Hurdle could possibly be a good fit on either one of those lines. So I think the ideal scenario would be 2C with, I would say, maybe Mantha and Barbashev. That's my initial thought.
So then you'd go Stevenson, yeah. Eichel, and Marchessault in that situation.
Yeah, Stevenson, Eichel, Marchessault, or even Amadio, Eichel, Marchessault. There are a lot of different ways you can go about that. But that was my first thought. Maybe get Barbashev and Mantha with him and see what you can do, kind of cause some havoc there. That was my first thought.
You know, that question is such an interesting one because there's so many different options, right? Like, we heard earlier today, like, Pavel Dorofeev is getting close. He might return for the Golden Knights as early as tomorrow. So why not throw Pavel Dorofeev into a situation where he's playing with Jack Eichel? Why not throw Anthony Mantha up the lineup on the right side alongside Jack Eichel, or down the lineup with Nick Waugh? Like, why not move some pieces around? And the counter argument to that is Bruce Cassidy said it last night in his postgame press conference. They haven't played a lot together as a team where everyone's in their right spot, so therefore it's been hard to gain continuity. But I think if you believe that this team's going to be okay, and I do, if you believe that they're going to make the playoffs, and I do, that they're going to find something, that they're going to start to put together wins, I do, then you should try to experiment as much as possible, because you might have combinations that on first blush you don't think about or you don't look at that can turn into an absolute beauty of a line come playoff time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Dorofeev is definitely the wild card there for that. And before he got hurt, if you remember on that East Coast road trip, he got more of those extended minutes in that top six role. And I think that's where we really saw Dorofeev shine, not even just in the offensive end, but I thought he made a lot of good, smart, sound plays in the defensive zone, some good reads in the neutral zone. So if there is a chance, I think, to kind of get him some more time, especially I think when you're trying to figure out maybe what you want to do in terms of the battle between Cotter and Dorofeev down the stretch here. And I do think that Dorofeev is going to make a case for that. I think that getting him on a line with Eichel and Marchessault might actually be a really good look there. Not only just for Jack trying to have another winger that will be a shoot first kind of a guy, but to also get that confidence for Pavel as he gets himself acclimated back from missing the last month and a half.
Okay, so in looking at the return for Tomas Hurdle, it's Hurdle, a 2025 third-round pick, a 2027 third-round pick. That comes to Vegas with 17% of the salary retained. To San Jose, it's David Edstrom and a first-round pick. Is this the best trade that Kelly McCrimmon made at the trade deadline, optically? Because I don't know how he did it. I truly don't know how he did it. Where you have San Jose retaining salary for 6 years, and Vegas gets extra picks out of it.
I've never seen anything like it. And the fact that at first when the initial return came back, it sounded like that Vegas was also sending 2/3,
yes,
and first in Edstrom. And at first I was like, okay, on the surface that makes sense. And if you get maybe a late round pick as a sweetener coming back from San Jose, that sounds good. 2/3 coming back with Tomas Hurdle literally makes zero sense. I have tried to figure this out. I don't know what exactly is going on in San Jose from the standpoint of Timo Meier deal. I don't think they got the best return of it from New Jersey. The Erik Karlsson trade with Pittsburgh, they still retain salary on that contract as well and are doing so for the next three or so years. I don't know exactly where this rebuild is going with San Jose, and I'm not sure I'm interested to find out where it's going, but it is definitely fascinating, and I think in the at least for the next year or so, it's going to unlock Pandora's box in a way that just really does not make sense.
Now, I'm going to preface this question by saying I love the approach that this team takes. They generally don't go after any big fish in free agency, A, because they generally don't have the cap space, but B, they don't want to get into a bidding war and have to overpay for a guy. So how confident – I want you to get in the mind of Kelly McCrimmon here. How confident are you that when you make a trade for a guy, and I'm going to throw in Anthony Mantha, Ivan Barbashev, I'll throw in Noah Hanifin as well, that when you get them to Vegas, that they will immediately fall in love with this city and sign an extension? Because we've seen it before with guys. Max Pacioretty jumps out. So how confident is this franchise that they don't even need to bother with big-name free agents because they just trade for a guy they want and they're able to lock them up?
Yeah, I think when you look at it from that standpoint, a lot of these guys that are just coming in here for the first time, they only see, you know, what a lot of people come from out of town, right? They only see the strip. They only see that one long stretch on Las Vegas Boulevard, and you see the shows and the bright lights. And then when you finally talk to these guys that have signed the extensions and have kind of stayed in Summerlin for a little bit, you realize there's so much more than just what goes on Las Vegas Boulevard. And then when you think about the quality of living, you think of no state income tax, you think of golfing year-round, you think of just all these different things, really great weather all year-round, minus the hurricane wind we had last week. Other than that, it's perfect weather year-round over here. So when you factor all of that in, that seems like an easier selling point. I mean, really, you go back to free agency. The last real big free agent they locked up was Alex Pietrangelo. And to that standpoint, it was a lot of factors that Alex looked into before signing here. Of course, getting a chance to be on a contender and win another Stanley Cup, which he did, played a factor in that. But when you look at the quality of living, you look at the quality of just life in Southern Nevada, you look at the quality of life in Summerlin, how close everything is in proximity to City National. There are so many factors that when you get to the point now that you have a chance to lock these guys up, like Hanifin and Mantha, if you get to that point, they've got that 2-month period of like, okay, I get to see what else it's like. And then after that 2 months, it's like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Everything is even more than it ever seemed here. So I think it getting that honeymoon phase out immediately kind of plays a big part in that. And if these guys are thinking about staying, they have a lot of good stories in that locker room that they can talk about for these guys of why this is such a great place to play and live.
Well, I think another aspect of that is it's almost like taking a test drive at the car dealership, yeah, because the team gets to see how a guy fits, if he fits, and if they want to keep him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it definitely works twofold. And, you know, you go back to when Mark Stone signed his extension, you know, he immediately jumped right in. I think it was maybe a week after the trade. You know, he jumps in a week later. He signs the extension. He hasn't even been here a week. But just from what you hear from other players who have come to Vegas or maybe just friends on the other side that you've talked to, they are always quick to mention just how great it is to play and live here. And then when you add in the fact that you get a little bit of a rental period, like you said, kind of taking the car out for the test drive, and then you see how it fits not only in the community and not only on the in the city aspect, but you also see it how it affects on the ice. It's just one whole conglomerate that pretty much works out together.
Okay. I expect that there's going to be an extension for Hanifin. Are you kind of that ilk too? Like when you heard Kelly talk about him a little bit today, it sure feels like it's something that is hoped to be and should be a longer term commitment. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm fairly confident. When the trade first came down, I was told even though Kelly didn't really outright say that discussions were had at the time of the trade, I'm fairly confident from what I've been told that there is going to be a long-term extension coming down the pipeline from Noah Hanifin. If it's not going to be anywhere between now and the end of the regular season, they usually like to tidy up business going into the off season, and that's probably where we'll hear from that.
Okay, so I'm fascinated by conditional picks. Fascinated by them. I love them. They're phenomenal. I love digging into all the ins and outs of what picks could become and all of that. And I've never seen what Kelly McCrimmon had done with the Calgary Flames. So in getting Noah Hanifin, if for those that remember, it was a 2025 conditional first-round pick, and the condition was if the Golden Knights use that pick in another trade before 12 p.m. today, then that pick would slide to a 2026 first-round pick for the Calgary Flames. Like, the fact that Kelly legitimately was able to trade for Noah Hanifin and keep that pick in play for 48 hours and then turn around and use it to land Tomas Hertl, that's amazing. I love how inventive that was.
Oh, absolutely. That's probably one of the more unique conditions I've ever heard. And, you know, it's funny because when the conditions were first announced for the when it officially came down for that the pick was going to San Jose, the first thing I thought of earlier today was the conditions that were put on the Kyle Okposo trade, where that it was a seventh rounder, right? And if the Panthers win the cup, it goes to a fifth, somewhere along those lines.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very unique in that sense. But the fact that I think Kelly said it, that at 20-12, he got on the phone with Craig Conroy and said, hey, this is happening, letting you know this pick is going to go to 2026. I don't know who comes up with the ideas to make these conditional picks, but it is extremely fascinating. Like, I feel like there's one giant war room, and they just put all different ideas in a hat, and they pull them out, and it's like, what crazy idea can we come up with that would actually make this conditional pick work? And it's extremely fascinating to me, and that one was just a home run by Kelly McCrimmon, and the fact that he was able to package that later on to get Tomas Hertl and just put a cap on this insane week for the Golden Knights is just all the better.
You know, from a Golden Knights perspective, that's my favorite condition. The condition on Jake Guentzel is amazing because there exists a world where the Pittsburgh Penguins don't actually get a first round pick for Jake Guentzel. I love that. It's phenomenal. Chapman.
So, you and I know that there are 15 other teams, maybe 16, depending on whether or not the Golden Knights make the playoffs or not, but there's 15 other teams right now that are looking at the Golden Knights jealous and envious. Of those 15 teams that are going to make the playoffs on top of the Golden Knights, are there any that would want to play them in the playoffs right now? Like especially with the possibility that Mark Stone could come back.
What kind of a question is this?
Well, like, I mean, who wants to play these guys?
Nobody.
Like, do you think Florida's circling the calendar saying, oh man, we want to get back and play these guys?
To be fair, they probably are because that means they're back in the Stanley Cup final. But no, I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
Danny.
No, I don't think so either. I do not think so either. And again, I think we're operating under the assumption that everybody just miraculously bursts out of the ambulance come game one, either in Vancouver or wherever. I think it's not even just the fact that this team, when fully healthy, we know how good they can be. I just don't think you want to play this team as the defending Stanley Cup champion. I think that in itself, that mindset, knowing that this team is going to get back to the playoffs if they do, get a chance to defend their championship, I think that alone would motivate this group. And the fact that you're adding reinforcements with 19 games to go and could possibly be adding more reinforcements come game one of a playoff series, which, you know, looking through my mentions 2 minutes ago, everybody's thrilled about, by the way, that's not from Vegas. The possibility of playing this team, I think, should, if they are operating at full strength, full capacity, and they can find their game in these last 19 games, nobody would want to play them. Absolutely not.
So let's kind of talk about how they're playing. Obviously, we don't have to rehash the road trip, especially how it ended. Like, it started off well enough. It ended really poorly. Last night, to me, was a step in a direction, right? Like, I wouldn't – the right direction. It was a better game overall. Like, if they play the game that they played last night against Vancouver, if they would have played that in Columbus or Buffalo, they would have been different games. Just that's the way that it is, right? But they didn't. And I understand that fans want to see wins. Like, is there a concern level for you in terms of the playoffs? Or do you believe that this team, it's been tough. There have been injuries. There have been a kind of a rotating cast all season long. But do you believe that they'll be able to find it, get themselves into the playoffs?
I ultimately think they will. And I know that you look at that road trip and you look at how it ended, especially giving up 13 goals against Buffalo and Columbus combined, is not the ideal situation. But I think in the totality of everything you look at, Jack Eichel's coming back. He's only got two games under his belt. I think he started to play a little bit better. We started to see flashes of Jack at peak efficiency last night, and I think that's a good sign. Dorfey is coming back soon. Brett Howden will be back soon. You hope that William Carrier will be back soon when he's done recovering from his illness. You look at the totality of this group, and I think last night there were definitely some signs that they were going in the right direction as far as playing well in front of Aiden Hill, playing well in front of the goalie, and playing a little bit more sound defensively. Because if you take those 55 seconds from the first period out of the game, it's such a tight-knit game. It's a 1-1 game. So you have a lot of factors that you look at and you can point to that said this is the kind of way that they want to get back to their game. But it's always that instance of playing those good pockets of hockey and then one or two bad things happen and then it starts to fall off the rails. They need to find a way to get to a more consistent 50, 55-minute game, because right now it's more of a consistent 15, 20, 25-minute game. And by the time they find their game, everything has just gone off the rails. But I do have confidence that they will find a way to get it going in these last 19 games, yeah.
Was there anything else outside of the Vegas Golden Knights that you really took stock of at the trade deadline? Like a trade that you really liked or movement or, you know, just anything else that really caught your attention over the last 2 days or so?
I was really surprised at Carolina over the last 24 hours, deciding to get away from the traditional norms that have kind of been plaguing them and deciding to go all in on Gensel. And then I don't know what is going to come of Evgeny Kuznetsov in these last quarter of games, but if he is motivated and if he is ready to come back and play next to the level that he showed he was capable at in Washington, Carolina, they are finally showing their fan base they're going all in. Mm-hmm. And I think that is absolutely awesome for that fan base because they have deserved it. Now, if they can win a game in the Eastern Conference Finals with that tandem, that would be even better. But I do like what Carolina did. I do like the fact that they're finally going all in and really not giving up a lot of their future to get Gensel. And then, you know, I think they'd like to extend them after this. But I definitely like what Carolina did. I was really interested in how the goalie market was looking toward the end of the deadline heading into noon. Mm-hmm. It looked like there was a report out there that the Kings were really close on landing Linus Ullmark, and I don't know how that would have changed the complexion of the Western Conference.
A lot.
The Vezina Trophy winner would have ended up in Los Angeles. But that was something that really caught my eye. But the one weird part going back to the goalies, I don't know what in the world the Devils are doing.
Neither do I.
I feel like they kind of went a little too late as far as addressing their goalie situation.
Yeah.
But at least Jake Allen gets more than you know, 10, 15 starts. I guess that is the silver lining if you're looking at the Devils.
You know they traded for Kaapo Kähkönen, right?
I did, and that was such a weird trade coming down the pipeline. I felt happy that Kaapo Kähkönen got out of San Jose, but I also felt bad for Vitek Vanacek for having to go to San Jose. Like it was a wild trade to come out after the deadline hit.
It's like, hey, we're the New Jersey Devils. We have goaltending issues. We've had it all season long. What do? We wait until there's 19 games left and we trade for two goalies.
It sounds all right. Also, speaking of the Devils, Winnipeg getting Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, it's big.
Huge. Absolutely huge. And Winnipeg getting themselves locked in that arms race after Dallas made big moves, after Colorado made big moves. The Central is going to be a bloodbath.
My favorite part of the trade deadline is that Kyle Dubas imposed an artificial deadline on Jake Guentzel and then didn't trade him by that artificial deadline.
And then the three-paragraph soliloquy he put out in the statement was just chef's kiss, just great cherry on top there.
Danny, enjoy a little bit of a break from the chaos tonight, and we'll see you at the rink tomorrow.
Will do, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That's Danny Webster joining us to dig into the Golden Knights and have a little bit of fun. For the other storylines of the trade deadline, which we'll get to in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to see the Vegas Golden Knights take on the Tampa Bay Lightning, be caller number 18. Caller number 18, you're a winner. 702-876-1340. One-timers are next.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for One-Timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-Timers. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. News and notes from around the National Hockey League. I promise we'll get to more stuff, but Tomas Hertl is a Vegas Golden Knight.
I still can't get over it.
Be honest with me for a moment.
I'm honest with you all the time.
Okay. Promise?
Yeah, of course.
After the loss against the Columbus Blue Jackets on Monday.
Yes.
Understanding we're 4 days out from trade deadline. How many moves did you actually think the Golden Knights would make?
One.
One.
Yeah, I thought they would make one move.
For who?
I thought they would go for a winger.
Yeah.
Who? I don't know. Buchnevich, maybe, Vetrano.
So they get a winger, they get a defenseman, and they get a center in Tomas Hertl.
I could tell you, I did not have any of these three guys on my Golden Knights would acquire bingo card.
I was shocked today.
I think that's an understatement.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was asked on the show yesterday, not our show, but the postgame show, who else is out there? Who's out there? And I'm like, oh, okay, Guentzel goes to Carolina. He's still got Tyler Toffoli out there. He's won before. He knows what to do.
Yeah.
Of course, we went through the usual suspects, Jason Zucker. I talked about Frank Vetrano because I like Frank Vetrano.
Obviously, like Frank Vetrano too.
Pavel Buchnevich was a name, though they certainly St. Louis didn't need to do it. I'll tell you, Chapman, I covered my base. Like, could be something completely off the board. Could be. So in a sense, in the loosest sense of the words, I was right. Called it.
Yeah.
I knew exactly.
Someone off the board.
Yes.
Wild card. Look, I generally don't think teams acquire players, mm-hmm. good players,
yep.
with 6 years remaining on their contract at the trade deadline.
I'm fascinated by the Tomas Hertl contract, number one, because it was so very obvious that San Jose should have moved on from the player when he was up.
Yeah.
It was so obvious.
They should have traded him 2 years ago.
You trade the guy 2 years ago at the deadline. You get a massive haul for him, and you mm-hmm. let another team sign that contract.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. And so they have to cut bait 2 years into it, and that becomes a big piece for the Golden Knights. Now, that said, What's the more surprising trade? Hurdle or Hanifin?
Hurdle for me.
I go Hanifin.
You didn't think they would get a D-man?
I at no point in time. And listen, I get that it has been a struggle of late defensively for this team. At no point in time did I think that they were in the market for a defenseman.
No, but I could have seen it. When I saw Pietrangelo got injured, they put him on IR. Mm-hmm. You know, my initial thought was, well, maybe I don't know how long he's going to be out. So the possibility of them trading for a D-man was there.
Sure.
Not necessarily that D-man. I didn't think they'd be in on Noah Hanifin.
Let us know in the text line, 702-876-1340. Which of the three trades, and I don't think Anthony Mantha is like super surprising, which of the three trades that the Golden Knights completed, Mantha, Hanifin, Hurdle, surprised you the most? I never imagined in a million years Tomas Hurdle would be a Golden Knight. Never imagined it.
No, not like this.
But I also never would have imagined the Golden Knights went after a D. Just didn't see it.
I mean, they potentially acquired two potential all-star players at the deadline. And they moved basically nobody on the active roster to get them.
All right, let's dig into Jake Guentzel.
This is interesting.
Isn't it, though?
It's fascinating.
So if you're not remembering things as they unfolded this week, general manager, president of hockey operations, Kyle Dubas for the Pittsburgh Penguins, put an artificial deadline in place.
Drew a line in the sand.
Yes. I want to trade Jake Guentzel by Wednesday evening.
Yes.
Didn't happen.
Nope.
At that point, like you lose all your leverage.
Yeah.
To be fair, when there's an actual deadline around the corner and you set an artificial deadline, no one's going to pay attention to your artificial deadline. It's just not going to happen.
No. Now, if he had put his foot down and said, nope, we told you.
Yeah, not trading him. But at that point,
then you're screwed too, because you're probably not re-signing him.
I mean, if I'm Kyle Dubas, I don't trade him on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I make those teams sweat it out. You're Carolina. You want Jake Guentzel? Okay.
You're waiting until the deadline on Friday.
I'll circle back with you.
Yeah. I told you when the deadline was.
Now we have a different negotiating price, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jake Guentzel and Ty Smith to the Carolina Hurricanes. Michael Bunting. God, there's so many prospects.
Yeah, but one of the prospects.
No, hold on. I'm gonna do my best, buddy.
Okay.
I'm gonna go pronunciation. Should probably increase the size of the.
Yeah, but there's a guy on there with my superhero name.
Okay, so Michael Bunting, Vasily Ponomarev, Cruz Lucius.
That's the
Such
one.
Such a cool name.
That is the one. Listen, that's my superhero name now, Cruz Lucius.
Ville Kolvenen, a conditional 2024 second round pick, and a conditional 2024 fifth round pick. That's what Pittsburgh gets. I believe there was retention on Guentzel too, so that's an aspect of it. Okay, so it's Michael Bunting, 1, 2, 3 prospects, and 2 picks, a conditional second and a conditional fifth. Here are the conditions on the picks, because I love this. I am really excited about conditional picks. The 2024 second round pick becomes a first if the Hurricanes reach the Stanley Cup final. This is so good. The Penguins will receive the fifth if Carolina wins the cup. So if they don't get to the final, then it's just a 2024 second round pick.
But you got Cruz Lucius.
How do you not get a first round pick for Jake freaking Guentzel?
Well, I mean, I think the report on Kyle Dubas was maybe a little premature about him being this genius.
He
boy Jake, boy wonder GM.
Jake Guentzel averages He averages 0.6 goals per game in the playoffs. How in the world do you not get a first-round pick, not conditional, none of that? And the condition is this team, has not been able to get over the hump, they have to get to the Stanley
Cup. They have to get
final.
Over the hump.
Yes. And the only way you get two picks out of it
is if they win it.
If they win it.
Yeah. Listen, prospects are prospects. Nobody knows what the hell you're going to get there. Michael Bunting, decent player, right? Good player, but basically, you gave up Jake. Your imaginary line in the sand was already kicked up and dusted away, and you probably didn't even get the best deal you could have gotten out of it. Like, to me, the Pittsburgh Penguins are probably the big loser at the trade deadline because I don't think they got enough.
Bigger loser than New Jersey?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't under... like. Listen, I'm not a prospect guy.
No, me neither.
I fully admit that. I'm going to stay in my lane here. I'm not going to pretend to know what Cruz Lucius is going to be.
Yeah, but he's got a great name.
That's fantastic.
I want that jersey.
I wish I had that name.
I hope he makes the big club so I could buy a Cruz Lucius jersey. 100%.
100%. But the fact of the matter is, if I'm Kyle Dubas, optically, it cannot be a conditional second-round pick.
No.
It cannot be a scenario in which you don't get at least one first-round pick for that.
And, you know, I think maybe the part that really sucks, I feel bad for Sid.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
He's one.
Yeah, but Sid, I love Sid.
Okay, I'm not doing the rumor thing here. Like, I saw some rumors about Sidney Crosby that were a asinine.
Don't go down that road.
However, we are talking about a player that's getting to the end of his current contract. This is going to be a legitimate rebuild. Should Crosby think about... should he think about not being a Penguin for life? And the argument that I'll make is, dude wants to win. He never wants to lose.
Yeah. And he's probably going to start to go through it if he stays in Pittsburgh.
He's been through it for 2 years now.
Well, it's going to get worse.
Not going to get any better.
Yeah. I can't imagine Sidney Crosby putting on another sweater.
I can't either, but...
but you know what? I never could have imagined Wayne Gretzky putting on another sweater.
See, that became normalized for me at a young age.
After L.A., I figured he would be there until the end of his career. Never saw Martin Brodeur put on a Blues jersey. Never saw that coming.
That's still gross.
It is. It makes me want to vomit.
I will say this. Wayne Gretzky being traded to St. Louis and immediately becoming the captain was really funny. It's wild to me that Gretzky played for as many teams as he did.
Yeah.
Edmonton, L.A., yeah. St. Louis,
Rangers.
Yeah. That's wild. But if I'm Crosby...
I wonder what the haul would be for Sidney Crosby. Like, what would you get? I mean, listen, we already know that Kyle Dubas' line in the sand is not worth...
Here's the deal. If I were Fenway Sports Group, I would hire a legitimate general manager.
Yeah.
Kyle, you're not the GM anymore.
Listen, and those guys, they run the soccer club that I root for. So
if you're
I know what they're doing.
If you're talking about a trade for Sidney Crosby, like, I can only imagine. Like, we got like 7 conditional second round picks. None of which are guaranteed first.
Yeah.
But hey.
They could change to thirds, right?
It's Sidney Crosby. What are you going to do? Those are your one timers for today. I don't know what day it is. I'm not even going to pretend here.
Okay, March 8th.
Good for you. Thanks, buddy.
Friday, March 8th.
If you want to see the Golden Knights and the Tampa Bay Lightning, be caller number 7. Caller number 7 is 702-876-1340. Catching up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan. Well, UNLV men's basketball team, they are on the road tomorrow, closing out the regular season in Reno.
Yep.
They've won 10 of 11 games. They've beaten some pretty good teams in that stretch. The one loss, to Reno. Game they were leading late, should have won. But hopefully they take care of business tomorrow night, come home for the Mountain West Conference Tournament, which I can't believe it's already starting next week. But good luck to Kevin Kruger and the rest of the guys as they travel up north, take on school we hate. Well, I hate because I'm a UNLV grad. But good luck, and hopefully they take care of business, like I said. And
yeah,
don't think they're going to make the NCAA tournament unless they win the conference tournament. But
can they trade for Tomas Hertl?
You know what? San Jose State is in the conference, so maybe they make a phone call to those guys. And by the way, Steve Karp is San Jose State grad.
Hmm.
Our friend Steve Karp.
Love Steve.
Yeah, good dude. I sat next to him at MSG, sat next to him last night, and he was telling me his niece is a big San Jose Sharks fan because he made the mistake of taking her to go see a Sharks game at the Cow Palace.
Wow.
That's a long time ago.
Stick tap to Darren Millard, who was on the broadcast on TV yesterday.
Saw him last night.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Also had a part in the trade deadline special that the Golden Knights put on around 1:30 today. So good news there on Darren Millard. Although I will say, for a self-admitted Star Wars guy, not knowing how to pronounce Padawan really, really bothered me.
Well, he's not a Star Wars guy then. He likes Jar Jar.
If into the security cameras you go, only pain will you find.